Should our enemies choose foolishly to challenge us, they will be crushed by the violence, precision, and ferocity of the War Department.
And we'll have a board, and one of the people that wants to be on the board is the UK former Prime Minister, Tony Blair, good man, very good man, and some others, and they'll be named over the next few days.
This is my video update on this Tuesday, midday, September the 30th, coming to you from Yerevan, Armenia. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with Trump's big announcement for a peace deal in Gaza. The Trump White House, they have published the 20-point peace plan. And yesterday, Trump announced this peace plan as he was hosting Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu. The reports are that Netanyahu, when he arrived at the White House, along with Trump, they called up Qatar. And Netanyahu apologized to the leadership of Qatar for bombing their country, for launching missiles into their country and killing some Qatari citizens, as well as going after the negotiators in what was that decapitation strike a couple of weeks ago. And then they held a press conference and Trump announced his peace plan. And he made it out as if Israel was completely signed up to this peace plan, but it does look like there are some differences between what Trump is saying Israel has agreed to and what Netanyahu is saying that he has agreed to. And a lot of these differences are related to IDF soldiers pulling out of Gaza, and then an Arab Muslim security force taken over in Gaza. Netanyahu said that after the press conference with Trump, he said that there's no way that Israel is going to be pulling out of Gaza, or the IDF is not going to be leaving Gaza. So there does seem to be some disagreement with what Trump is saying the peace plan is all about and what Israel has agreed to and what Netanyahu is saying Israel has agreed to. But we do have this 20-point peace plan. And Trump has announced that there will be a board of peace put in place. So Hamas is going to be given amnesty from the way it looks, but they're going to have to get out of Gaza, get out of the area. They're going to have to disarm, and then all of the infrastructure, the tunnels, all of these things will be destroyed. And there's going to be a Palestinian group that will be governing the area, but they will fall under some board of peace that Trump was talking about. And this board of peace will have Trump as the chairman of the board, and will have other Western officials, international officials, such as Tony Blair. And Trump announced that Tony Blair will be one of the people who will administer this board of peace, which will effectively be the board that will be governing Gaza. And then you're going to have Palestinians who will be named to some sort of a local administrative role. That's my understanding of this. So it will be the Board of Peace with Trump as the chairman of the board, and then people like Tony Blair administering Gaza. He will be a part of this Board of Peace. And that's a huge red flag, by the way. Tony Blair announcing that Tony Blair is going to be involved in administering Gaza is a massive, huge red flag. But that's pretty much the peace deal that that Trump announced. He said that Hamas is looking over the 20-point peace plan. They have not given an answer as to whether they accept it or not. But Trump did say at the press conference that if Hamas rejects the 20-point peace plan, then Netanyahu pretty much has a free hand to do whatever he needs to do in Gaza. And he said that the United States would support a Netanyahu. That is, if Hamas rejects the peace plan, the 20-point plan. So it does look like it's a type of ultimatum to Hamas. Maybe you can look at it as a way to tell Hamas to surrender, to capitulate. Then they will be granted amnesty, and then Gaza falls under the administration of the collective West with an Arab Muslim security force that's in dispute with Netanyahu. But we'll see how that works out, whether it's going to be an Arab Muslim security force or whether Israel's going to remain in Gaza, the IDF is going to remain in Gaza. And yeah, so you have this Board of Peace, and then you have a local Palestinian authority that's going to administer the region underneath the Board of Peace. That's pretty much what Trump announced yesterday. And he does have buy-in from many countries in the region. They have actually issued a statement. One second. Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Indonesia, Pakistan, UAE, Jordan, Egypt, Qatar. I said Turkey. Yeah, they welcome Trump's initiative to end the war in Gaza. They call for the reconstruction of Gaza, Israeli withdrawal, respect for international law, and a two-state solution. The two-state solution, Netanyahu has already said that's not going to happen. I don't recall Trump mentioning a two-state solution in his press conference either. I could be wrong about that. But Netanyahu also said that a two-state solution is not happening. And he made it clear after the press conference that there was going to be no IDF Israeli withdrawal from Gaza. So there are some points of dispute, but that's it. Steve Witkoff, according to the Times of Israel, may be leaving his position by the end of 2025. Witkoff said that this deal, this 20-point peace plan, if it is agreed on by Hamas, that this could lead to a general overall peace in the Middle East. He also said that this could be the springboard for some sort of a peace between Russia and Ukraine. But the Times of Israel is saying that by the end of the year, Witkoff is gone. He is out. They did talk about Iran as well. Not many people are mentioning the fact that during the meeting, Netanyahu and Trump talked about what to do with Iran. So that's an interesting point that not many media outlets are mentioning, probably on purpose. They don't want to mention that there was a discussion about Iran. No doubt that they talked about launching a second strike on Iran. Perhaps the Trump administration wants to wrap up this 20-point peace plan. And once they wrap up the 20-point peace plan, where they do have buy-in from many countries in the region, then they'll be in a better position to launch a round two strike against Iran. So there you have it. The plan from Trump that I am sure he will also take to the Nobel Peace Prize Committee to make his case for a Nobel Peace Prize. But there it is. Let's move on now and talk about the meeting that is going to take place tomorrow in Copenhagen, the EU meeting, where they will discuss an EU army. And Denmark, there are reports that they have, Denmark has called up reservists. to the military, and this is the first time I believe this is happening, where you have a country in Europe, in this instance Denmark, the Defense Department, calling up soldiers from the reserve. And they say this is about dealing with the drones that are entering Denmark's airspace, of which no one has properly identified those drones, though the speculation from the media is that these are Putin drones. Why is Putin sending drones into Denmark? Who knows? Who cares? He's just doing it. The drones that disappear when the military comes close to them, they just vanish magically. They vanish. So yeah, you're going to have this big meeting taking place in Copenhagen, where Ursula is going to make the case for a big and powerful EU army. Leaders press to reshape the EU under Putin's aggressive shadow. Wednesday's Copenhagen summit is a step toward turning the EU into a military power, but the bloc isn't united and the risks are great. Turning the EU into a military power. That is Ursula's plan. It's no longer about an economic union. It's about a military union. So that is the plan, the agenda for tomorrow. They've got now the whole drone scare to push the agenda forward. Very convenient that they have the drone scare to push the military plan forward. Ursula has $150 billion in loans that she's ready to commit to building up a military, and EU member states are going to take on this debt in order for them to make weapons and hand over those weapons to Ukraine, or to keep those weapons in order to build up the EU army's defenses. And then they're ready to take on Russia, right? That's the plan. By 2027, 2030, they'll be ready to take on Russia. And they're even planning to build a drone wall. A drone wall, a wall of drones to protect against Putin's drones. What if the drones are not coming from Russia? What if these drones are Amazon deliveries, right? What if we're talking about Amazon delivery drones and not Russian drones? Man, you guys built a 6 billion euro drone wall in order to knock down Amazon delivery drones? That's what we're talking about, 6 billion euros, right? For them to build this drone wall. But the defense minister of Germany, Mr. Pistorius, he is saying that this drone wall is fiction. He came out with a statement pouring cold water on Ursula's drone wall plan, saying that this is not going to happen, at least not in the near term, this drone wall. And that Europe has more important things to focus on when it comes to military stuff. He was letting me get pretty close to him, but then he flew away. Anyway, Pistorius said, forget about this drone wall. This is nonsense. We need to focus our resources and our money on more immediate issues in order to take on Russia. My thinking on this is that Ursula, as she's putting together the 6 billion euro drone wall slush fund, that she didn't cut Pistorius in on the action. You gotta cut Pistorius in on the action, Ursula, come on. You know better when you're putting together funds. You gotta cut Pistorius, the defense minister of Germany, in on it. If you don't cut him in, then he's going to talk against it. So that's what's going on in Copenhagen. What a nice skate park, huh? Pretty impressive.
So Ursula announced before she heads off to the big meeting tomorrow that she's going to allocate another 2 billion euros to Zelensky. The EU will allocate about 2 billion to Ukraine for drones using frozen Russian assets. But there will be no seizure of the Russian central bank's reserves. The loan is planned to be issued in tranches. Yep. They're just taken from the Russian frozen assets. Just keep on chipping away at the Russian frozen assets. What was it down to from my last video? 140 billion, right? It was 170 billion a week ago. Last week I talked about this, or three, 4 days ago I talked about this, and it was down to 140 billion. Make that 138 billion. Because another 2 billion now is going to Zelensky from the Russian frozen assets. But don't worry about it, Russia. Don't worry about it. They're replacing the money with IOUs. Nothing to worry about. And the European Union, they're good for it. When the IOU is there in Euroclear, when you open up the vault in Euroclear, when all of this is over, and you open up that vault to get your cash, there's going to be a nice big stack of IOUs, and the EU is good for that money. No doubt about it. So that's her announcement. 2 billion to Zelensky, just like that. 2 billion. That's the EU's number one concern, is to build a big military, a big, powerful military. Medvedev put out a statement saying that he doubts that the EU is going to be able to build this big military. There's a lot of disputes inside the EU, a lot of different factions that can't agree to how to go about this. And also the fact that the European Union is broke and bankrupt and really does not have any money to build a big military. And of course, you also have the fact that they do not have cheap energy to do this, cheap, reliable energy to build this big military. Oh, that's interesting. How do I get, I can go through here. So that's what Medvedev said. He's right. He's right about that. But I personally believe that, yes, they're gonna try to build a military, and yes, they do want to take on Russia, and yes, they do want a smash with Russia. Kaya Kallas wants to break Russia apart into 6 or 7 different pieces. But my instincts are telling me that when it comes to Ursula, this is more about the funds. Right. This is more about the money and the funds. This is what she's good at. And she's using the excuse of building a big military so she can put together big money and big funds, which will get divided up to the various players. That's what my gut is telling me. But Medvedev said we still have to be very careful, and we have to keep an eye on what the European Union is doing, even though he believes that they're not going to be able to put together this big, strong, powerful military to take on Russia. He did say that, nevertheless, Russia has to be keeping an eye on what the European Union is doing. So Sweden announced that they're going to shoot down aircraft. Aircraft is what Sweden said they're going to shoot down. At first, they're going to warn the aircraft. So they'll send a warning to the aircraft. And if the aircraft do not respond to the warning, then according to the commander of the Swedish Air Force, Mr. Michael Klassen, they're going to shoot the aircraft down. It's not a good idea, Sweden. Not a good idea. So that's the news from Sweden. And shifting over to Poland, they're all preparing for war, huh? The entire EU is preparing for war. And they need the citizens to buy into the war, because Polish Prime Minister Donald Tusk, he said that the European Union and Poland, they're already in a war with Russia. The West at war with Russia, according to the Polish Prime Minister. The Ukraine conflict is the biggest threat of the century, putting the future of Western civilization at risk. Yeah, so Poland is saying, the Prime Minister of Poland is saying, we are already at war. The people of the West need to understand this and accept this. It's a hybrid war. It's a different kind of war, he said. But nevertheless, it's a war, and citizens need to take that into account and understand that there is a war taking place. And he said that the West needs to win this war. It's a beautiful church. I don't know if I can film inside of an Armenian church, to be honest. So I won't do it. Because I don't know what the rules are, and I don't see any signs or anything, so I'll just show everybody the outside of the church. Beautiful architecture. I see some people filming, actually. I see some people with the cameras filming. Amazing, beautiful. Let's go around the front. So do I have any quotes from Donald Tusk? Let's see. Someone who is very committed to Project Ukraine, a globalist through and through, Mr. Tusk. Yes, I do have some quotes from Tusk. On Monday, he claimed that the biggest and most important task for European leaders today is to make Western societies aware that the Ukraine conflict is the most serious risk faced by them in the 21st century. This war is also our war, Tusk stated, claiming that it is of our fundamental interest. According to the Prime Minister, a defeat of this conflict would allegedly affect the entire Western civilization, from Poland to the U.S. He then called for solidarity and unity within the EU and NATO, which he claimed was needed to prevail and defeat Russia. You know, it's the admission that they are at war with Russia. They're now admitting it openly, publicly. 2-3 years ago, what were they saying? We're not at war with Russia. All of them were saying we're not at war with Russia, including Poland. We're not at war with Russia. Ukraine is at war with Russia. We're just allowing Ukraine to defend itself, right? We're helping Ukraine defend itself. That's what they were saying for 3 years. That was the line. Now it's shifted. It shifted because they finally understood that Ukraine is losing, Ukraine is going down, and Russia is winning. And now it's shifted to we are at war. We are at war with Russia. They're openly stating it now. And of course, they need buy-in. They need buy-in from the people, right? They need the citizens to be very afraid, hence the drones and all of that stuff. And they need the European citizens to be very afraid because a lot of loans and a lot of money is going to be allocated to the MIC and to the political class that is aligned with the MIC so they can sell the war with Russia. And of course, a lot of centralized control, digital IDs, and more power to the EU center. All of these things are now in play as they get EU citizens to buy into this nonsense that they have to worry about some sort of Russian attack or some sort of Russian hybrid war or drones attacking their country or whatever they're coming up with. Solidarity and unity, that is what Tusk said. That is what is required of Polish citizens, solidarity and unity. Everyone in Europe is going to become a lot poorer. And the globalist elite are going to become a lot richer, a whole lot richer. A lot of billionaires are going to be minted from all of this over the next 2-3 years, a whole lot of billionaires. So the Polish foreign minister, Sikorski, he gave an interview, I think this was to CNN. And his English is super good, Sikorski, huh? Like super good English, the Polish foreign minister. He said that this war is going to end in the same way that World War I concluded,
One of the sides is going to run out of resources, and he is saying that that the West has to make sure that Russia is the side that runs out of resources. That is what Sikorsky said. That is how the war is going to end. In his view, the war will most likely end the same way the First World War ended. One side or the other will run out of resources to continue.
Because Putin will only stop this war when he thinks he can't win. And for him to come to that conclusion, there needs to be more pressure on the Russian economy and more help for the Ukrainians. But the American side, I think, is planning to buy some Ukrainian drones. I think it's testimony to Ukraine's achievement during this war. This war will likely end the way World War I ended. One side or the other will run out of resources to carry on.
Hungarian Prime Minister Orbán, he gave a speech yesterday, and he echoed what we have been saying on the Duran for a while now, which is that the European Union is no longer an economic union, no longer about the best interests of European citizens or anything like that. He said that the European Union is a project. Alexander's words over the past couple of years. He coined that phrase, that the EU is a project, a globalist project. Orbán, he called the European Union a war project. That is what Orbán said. It is a war project. That is what, according to Viktor Orbán, that is what the EU is focused on now. Doesn't care about anything else other than building up for a war. So that was the statement from Orbán. He also said in an interview that that if the West stops support for Ukraine, then the next day Ukraine would just crash out. He said it's completely propped up by the West. They pay for everything. And the minute the West would pull support for Ukraine, he said the next day the country would just fold, which is a correct statement. I don't know if it would fold in 24 hours, but in about a month or two, if the money stopped, then the country would cease to operate. So that's Orbán, and. And what else is on the agenda? I'm thinking, which direction should I go? I'm thinking to go down that way. So Peskov commented on the Tomahawks, and he said that Russia is taking all the talk about the Tomahawks very seriously. Everything that Vance and Kellogg said, Peskov said that the Kremlin is studying their statements about long-range missile strikes into Russia, and they're taking the words from Vance and from Kellogg very seriously, and they will be prepared. That is what Peskov said in his statement. So do we have any more news, or should we get to a clown world? Let's see. We really heard the statements of J.D. Vance and Keith Kellogg and are now carefully analyzing them, said Dmitry Peskov. So Slovakia passed a law where the parliament passed legislation where any laws from Slovakia are now going to take precedent over EU laws. I believe Poland has something like this already in place, but now Slovakia has put this in place. This is bad news for the EU. They don't like to talk about this. The EU does not like to talk about certain countries passing legislation which places their national laws above EU laws. because that really hurts the European Union and their plans, their goals. Slovakia first, parliament votes to put national law above EU law. Hungary's next. I imagine Hungary's going to be the next country to pass something like this. Who knows? Maybe with time, more and more countries, if you get certain election results, like say Le Pen, maybe more countries will pass legislation where their laws take precedent over the authoritarian, unelected EU laws and regulations. And if you get enough countries to pass these types of laws, then the EU becomes irrelevant, doesn't it? Maybe the EU goes back to being a trade union, a trade and customs union, which is what it should be. Nothing more than that. So Bulgaria, they came out with a statement, the energy minister of Bulgaria, and he said by 2027, Bulgaria is going to cut off the energy to Slovakia and Hungary. The last point of entry into Europe for Russian energy is via Turkstream to Bulgaria, and then it feeds into Hungary and Slovakia. Bulgaria to end Russian gas flows to Hungary and Slovakia in 2027. The southeastern European country is home to the last entry point for Russian pipeline flows into the EU, which is currently in talks over a bill to end gas imports. So Slovakia and Hungary are not going to be happy about this announcement from Bulgaria. Politico, in this article, they say Sofia hosts the last remaining entry point for Russian pipeline flows into the bloc via the Turkstream pipeline after Ukraine refused to renew a gas transport deal through the country in January. Moscow's other historic routes to the EU are either damaged or under sanctions. The other routes, Nord Stream, damaged. Damaged, man. It's damaged. It has a couple of cracks in it. Needs some repairs. It's just damaged, man. The other routes are damaged, according to Politico. Kaya Kallas is saying that in the 19th sanctions package that she is preparing to announce, she will try to limit the movement of Russian diplomats, and not only Russian diplomats, but their families, everyone in embassies in the European Union, in Russian embassies and consulates throughout the European Union. Whatever your position is, whether you're ambassador, whether you're a lower level official, whatever, if you're Russian and you're working at an embassy or consulate inside the European Union, then Kaya Kallas is putting together a plan to limit your movement throughout the country that you're stationed in, as well as the Schengen area. The plan talks about putting restrictions on where you move. If you're crossing over to another EU country, you have to announce this to the various authorities. You have to tell them your movements, your whereabouts. You have to give them the license plate number of the car that you're traveling in. Basically, you're going to be surveilled wherever you go if you're a Russian diplomat and you're stationed in the European Union. They're going to completely restrict and monitor your movement. And you know what I think about when I listen to plans like this from Kaya Kallas? I think that this is just a test, a preparation for when they're going to restrict the movement of all citizens, right? Let's try it on Russian diplomats now. Let's get all the procedures in place. Let's test this out. Let's work out all the kinks. And then once we get the digital IDs and the digital currencies in place, and we scare the crap out of people in the EU about Russian drones and a Russian war so that they buy into all of this that we're planning, then we can put our control mechanisms on our EU citizens. That's what I'm getting at when I hear these plans from Kaya Kallas to monitor the movement of Russian diplomats inside of the EU. Schengen. Stunning and brave, Kaya Kallas. Under the plan, Russian officials posted in the EU's nation's capital would have to notify authorities in other member states at least 24 hours before crossing their borders. The outlet wrote on Monday they would be required to provide details such as the make and license plate of their car or the route code of their flight or train. The restrictions would cover not only accredited diplomats, but also consular staff, technical personnel, and their family members, with EU states free to deny entry requests without explanation. Ah, those EU values. EU democracy and EU values. We're getting reports that Rubio, one more story, that Rubio, Ratcliffe, and Stephen Miller are pushing Trump to attack Venezuela, to get regime change in Venezuela, overthrow Maduro, because he is a drug trafficker, according to these reports. That's what the reports are saying. He's a drug trafficker, and they are pressing Trump to immediately act to remove Maduro. That is Rubio and Ratcliffe and Miller. Yeah, Rubio, Ratcliffe, and Stephen Miller, the presidential advisor. So let's do a clown world and we can wrap this video up. Annalena Baerbock, she was in Times Square promoting the UN's Better Together initiative. The Better Together UN initiative. We are better together, according to Annalena Baerbock. And she posted a promotional video on her Instagram where she talks about this Better Together UN initiative. She makes it very clear to tell everyone that she is the president of the United Nations General Assembly. She's the president of the United Nations General Assembly. So she makes it very clear to tell everyone that she is El Presidente of the UNGA, and she's in New York City showing off the big, big, massive billboard that the UN wasted money on to promote their Better Together initiative. And then, this is a clown world to it all, and a very fitting clown world, if you ask me. And then Annalena puts on a billboard backpack and she walks around New York City with a billboard backpack promoting the UN's marketing plan. Yeah, that's about right. That's where I kind of saw Annalena's future moving towards, wearing a billboard backpack. Anyway, that's the video, everybody. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on Rumble and X and Telegram, and go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch like what I'm wearing in this video update. There is a link in the description box down below. I am at Queen Burger. Looks good. Looks very good. Let's see what the prices are like. $2,800 for small cheeseburger and nuggets, one small crispy chicken burger, and one small fries for $2,000. Queen Burger, established in 1996. Take care.